We've been together for a while now. We're growing stronger every day now. It feels so good and there is no doubt I will stay with you. As each morning brings the sunrise and the flowers bloom in springtime, on my loving you can rely, and I'll stay with you. There'll be heartaches and pain, yes it will, yeah. But through it all, we will remain, hey. In this life, we all know, friends may come and they may go, but through the years I know, I will stay. Yes, I will. Oh, I'm gonna stay when no one else is around. And when the dark clouds arrive, I will stay by your side. And I know we'll be alright. I will stay with you. Yeah, everything will be fine. Yeah, and I'll stay with you through the end of all time. I will stay with you. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Ooh, ooh, ooh.
It's just, there's all this pressure, you know? And sometimes it feels like it's right up on me and I can just feel it, like literally feel it in my head, and it's relentless. And I don't know if it's gonna stop. I mean, that's the thing that scares me the most, is that I don't know if it's ever gonna stop.
Yeah. Well, you do have a nail in your head.
It is not about the nail.
Are you sure? Because, I mean, I'll bet if we got that out of there...
Stop trying to fix it.
No, I'm not trying to fix it. I'm just pointing out that maybe the nail is causing...
You always do this. You always try to fix things when what I really need is for you to just listen.
See, I don't think that is what you need. I think what you need is to get the nail
out. See, you're not even listening now.
Okay, fine. I will listen. Fine.
It's just... Sometimes it's like... There's this achy... I don't know what it is. And I'm not sleeping very well at all. And all my sweaters are snagged. I mean, all of them.
That sounds really hard.
It is. Thank you. Ow!
Come on, if you would just...
Don't!
Try to see things my way. Do I have to keep on talking till I...
All right. How many know that video gives a whole new meaning to hitting the nail on the head? All right, guys, if you don't get it, it's never about the nail. You may have noticed that men and women are different. Has anybody noticed that? Today, that's what we're going to talk about as we continue on our series, Stronger. Today, our topic is Stronger Women. Last week, we talked about why are we broken. Next week, we're going to talk about stronger men. 2 weeks from today, we're going to talk about stronger parents and children. And 2 weeks from today, we're going to have a child dedication or baby dedication service. So if you have a child or a baby that you'd like to be dedicated, information's in your bulletin about that. And then we're going to end it with how to be successful. But today's message is Stronger Women. And our theme verse is Mark chapter 10, verse 6. The Bible says, at the beginning of creation, this is Jesus speaking, he goes, didn't you know at the beginning of creation, God made them male and female? Now, how many know some of the most basic scriptures that we have taken for granted our entire lives? We live in a culture now that these have very profound meaning. God made men and God made women, and he made them differently on purpose for one another, and that's what we're going to talk about here today. because men and women are different. For instance, when men go to the bathroom, we go to the bathroom with one single purpose in mind. A man goes in, does his business, and walks out, avoiding eye contact and any conversation. Women, on the other hand, they go to the bathroom together. And they think of the bathroom as a social area or gathering space. A woman can meet a stranger in a restroom and begin a conversation with her as if she were her best friend. Men don't make friends in the bathroom. It just doesn't happen. And all the men said amen. When women get lost, they ask for directions. Men don't get lost. Because getting lost would make a man look stupid. Now, we may take the scenic route, and the trip may take a little bit longer than it originally was planned, but men don't get lost. And did you know the physical makeup of our brains are entirely different? Guys, did you notice there is a separation between your right side of brain and your left side of a brain? And because of that, there's a disconnect between emotion and logic. So guys tend to be more task-oriented. We are achievers, hunters, gatherers. And all the men said, hoorah! But that also means that men tend to only be able to focus on one thing at a time. That's good to know. However, women's brains are wired completely different because their left brain and their right brain are wired together, and therefore logic and thinking are connected to feelings and emotions. So women tend to be more empathetic. They tend to be more sensitive. And because they are wired together, they can do many things at once. Something is always going on in a woman's mind. I'm trying to help you out. Guys, never forget, women are always thinking. One columnist put it this way. He said, go up to a woman and just ask her this question. What are you thinking? I just did this experiment with my wife, and this is what she said she was thinking about when I said, what are you thinking? She said, well, off the top of my head, I'm thinking about the party we're having Saturday and how I'm going to fix that chandelier in the front room so that people can walk around without hitting their heads. And then I'm thinking about my work schedule this week and whether or not I'm going to have some time to do the things I need to do at home as well. And I'm also thinking if it's too late to get tickets to get an airplane to Ohio for Christmas, and I'm thinking about food. So he says, not only is she thinking about something, she's thinking about four separate things. And if I check back in 5 minutes, she'll still be thinking. Because women are always thinking. Men, on the other hand, are actively thinking for about 5 minutes out of every hour. So at best, you have a 1 in 12 chance of catching a guy actually having a thought. How many know the differences between men and women are profound? And our differences are much more than just our reproductive organs, aren't they? Matter of fact, we talked about the Garden of Eden last week. I find it pretty interesting that after Adam and Eve sinned, remember the Bible says they took fig leaves and they covered themselves. I think it's interesting to note what they covered about themselves. They didn't cover their mouths, even though their mouths are the ones that ate the forbidden fruit. They didn't cover their hands, and their hands would have had to take the fruit in their hands to commit the sin. They didn't cover their ears where they heard the temptation of the serpent. No, the Bible says they didn't cover those things. They covered up their parts of their bodies that were different from the other. The man parts and the female parts are what they covered. I want you to notice what sin's effect is on the differences between men and women. Rather than celebrating our differences, we cover them up. I wish I had time to unpack that for what's going on in our culture right now. We are still trying to cover up the differences between men and women. That's what the transgender conversation is all about. We're still trying to cover our sin. We're still trying to cover up our differences. Come on, somebody. Here's the first big idea I'd like you to write down in your notes. First, God created men and women with unique differences on purpose. We are all called to understand and celebrate these differences by serving one another. It's God's plan that we're different. So God calls us to understand each other and to honor each other by serving one another. Because men and women are not interchangeable. We're not unisex beings, even though that's what our society wants us to be. We have different strengths. We have different weaknesses. How many know men have the gift of independence? Men look outward. We initiate. But this good thing, this gift of independence can become sin to us when we take it to the level of the alpha male. You know, I am king, hear me roar. That becomes sin to us, and it's pride. Women have a gift of interdependence. They are perceptive, they nurture, and that's a good thing, that's a gift from God. But it can become sin when we become codependent, or if we reject dependence by saying, I don't need anybody, that becomes sin as well. Do you see this? So think about the fact that those who deny in our culture that there are any innate differences between men and women are the ones that actually end up devaluing women. They're the ones that actually end up, they're saying they're trying to protect women, but when you say there's no difference between men and women, you're actually devaluing a woman. Because the society says all women should shed their feminine qualities and take on masculinity so that you can dominate and have influence. But how many know that's a rejection of the image that God created you in? God created femininity. So if you give up femininity, our society loses. Families lose. Businesses lose. The churches lose because we need strong women. Oh, come on, ladies. This is your message to help me out. The church needs stronger women. And so that's what today's message is about, is what does that look like? How does that happen? Here's the second big idea. God created the sexes differently to teach us to love someone unlike us. Why did God do this? Why did he make male and female? Well, he wanted us to learn to love people who were different than us. Now remember, when sin came, they began to cover up their differences and we began to, let me back up a little bit. It's easy to love somebody like us, right? We like hanging around people like us. It's more difficult to love people who are different than you. That's why we have racism. That's why we have sexism and all the other isms in the world, because we tend to not like people not like us. How many of you have ever heard the saying, opposites attract? Have you heard that? Because, you know, by and large, that's true. The scripture says in 1 Peter chapter 3, watch this. Husbands must give honor to your wives. Treat your wife with what? Understanding. Why? Because she's different. Understanding as you live together. She may be weaker than you are, but she's equal, your equal partner in God's gift of new life. Treat her as you should so your prayers will not be hindered. God says, listen, in order for God's plan for us is that we understand one another. Even though they are unlike us, they don't look like us, they don't act like us, they don't think like us. And so God created us differently so that we could understand each other. Now let's be honest, most conflict in relationships, in family relationships, or in marriage come from misunderstandings, right? Why don't you think like I think? Why don't you act like I act? And we perceive their differences as they're wrong, and we judge them and we condemn them. And how many guys are saying, what just happened? I don't understand. And ladies said, why doesn't he get me? There's frustration because we don't understand each other. God says, dwell with each other with understanding. Amen? So that's our goal here today as we talk about this, is so that we can help all of us, especially men, understand what it means to have stronger women, what a strong woman looks like and how we can help them. Here's the third big idea. Marriage was not designed by God to make us happy. Marriage was designed by God to make us godly. And how many know being godly makes you happy? Okay, but some people say, why am I gonna get married? Because I wanna be happy. You're in it for the wrong reason. God didn't create marriage to make you happy. Matter of fact, remember they asked Jesus about marriage in heaven? And Jesus said, listen, guys, the way you understand marriage on the earth is not going to be like marriage in heaven. And so, well, then why did God create this whole thing? Marriage and men and women. What is that all about? I want you to understand. There's a book I've been reading, The Meaning of Marriage, by Tim and Kathy Keller. And I think she explains it. Kathy Keller explains it really, really well. Marriage, in the biblical view, addresses the chasm between the sexes. Marriage is a full embrace of the other sex. We like to call them opposite sex. Marriage is a full embrace of the other sex. We accept, yet struggle with the otherness or oppositeness of our spouse. In the process, we do what? We grow and mature. That is impossible in any other way. I've had homosexual friends, she says. Both men and women tell me that one of the factors that made homosexual love attractive to them was how much easier it was than dealing with someone of a different sex. I have no doubt this is true. A person of one's own sex is not as likely to have as much otherness to embrace. But God's plan, back up a little bit, I'm sorry. But God's plan for married couples involves embracing the otherness to make us unified. Now we go to the next one. That can only happen between a man and a woman. Even at the atomic level, all the universe is held together by the attraction of positive and negative forces. The embrace of the other, as it turns out, really is what makes the world go around. I know it's awfully early to be thinking like that. What a profound statement. God created this mystery of marriage because the God of the Bible, listen closely, embraces the otherness in us. We're the bride of Christ, right? Christ is our bridegroom. Christ embraced the ultimate other, which is sinful humanity, because God is holy. You're not going to get more opposite of holy than sinfulness. A holy God chose to love sinful mankind. He didn't leave us to judgment, but God embraced us by dying on the cross for our sins. And because of that, God gives us a model for what it means to love each other through Jesus Christ. Don't miss this. How do we understand and get along with the other sex, the opposite sex? People unlike me, we follow Christ's example in the way that he loves his bride. And what does the scripture say in Romans chapter 5, verse 8? Christ demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were sinners, opposite him, Christ died for the ungodly. So in that verse, watch this. We see the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we see, begin to realize that the loving someone of the opposite sex requires us to lay our lives down. Christ loved us when we didn't love him, when we were hostile to him, when we were most unlike him. And how many know that kind of love requires sacrifice? For Jesus, that love meant being betrayed by those he loved and being rejected by those he was trying to rescue. Now, how many know when we're betrayed, when we are wounded, when we are lied about, our first instinct is to abandon. We want to run. We want to get away. But Christ didn't do that, did he? He embraced us. He loved us. And he brought us to himself. And this is what Christ wants from us in our relationships. This is how we have healthy relationships. This is how we have strong marriages. When we learn to love like Christ loves us, when we learn selflessness, when we learn servanthood, when we learn to pursue Jesus, we will become stronger in our relationships with one another. Pastor, why are you challenging us all the time to read the one-year Bible, to have daily time with God, to pray? Why all this emphasis on prayer? Because I know that if you stay in the Word of God, it has a transforming effect in your life. And if you walk with God, you have a relationship with God, you will become conformed to the image of God's Son. And you know what's going to happen? It's going to affect your relationships. You're going to have a better marriage. You're going to have better relationships at home. You're going to have better relationships at work. Come on, somebody. Because as I become like him, I love like him. I serve like him. I sacrifice like him. So we need more than just information in our heads. We need transformation in our hearts. You get that? And no better model of that do you see that in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, where Paul says, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church." How did Christ love the church? Gave himself up for her. So we're supposed to love others the way Christ loved us. How did he love us? The Bible says he gave himself up for us. Now I'm going to spend the rest of this message talking specifically to the guys, and I want to show you what God asks of us when it comes to our response to the women in our lives, the other, the opposite in our lives. And we're going to see that it requires us to lay our lives down. And this applies to every relationship, fathers to daughters, sons to mothers, brothers to sisters, husbands to wives, parents to their kids. Are you getting this? Now listen, here's the first one. What does a woman need? Now, I'm just going to talk about two today, but because literally this could easily be like a six-month series. What does a woman need? Or want? We were praying before the services this morning, and I told the prayer group, I said, I want you to pray for me because today I want to try to explain to all the guys what women want. There was a look. There was a sound of silence. I'm like, see, we should pray. I'm only going to talk about two. Here's the first one. Every woman is wired by God for communication. All right? Every woman is wired by God for communication. It's what a woman needs in her life. Now, since I'm addressing the guys, I found a guy movie to help us illustrate this. How many of you have ever seen Cool Hand Luke? Right? And there is a statement by the captain of the road prison who delivers one of the most famous lines in movie history. Watch this.
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
Anybody heard that one before? What we got here is a failure to communicate. That may be the best marriage advice we've ever had. Now, communication, because communication does not come naturally for guys. See, even then they won't respond. I heard a story about a man who called his neighbor to help him move a couch. It had become stuck in the doorway. They pushed and pulled until they were exhausted, but the couch wouldn't budge. "Forget it," the man finally said. "We'll never get this in." The neighbor looked at him confused and said, "In?" Go ahead and laugh, ladies. You know it's true. The goal of communication is to understand and to be understood. Do you agree? Now, so in order for us to understand and communicate with women, guys, you got to understand that women are wired to talk. It's too late, man. You had your shot. If you get a few women together watching TV, what happens? They start carrying on this conversation about 50 other things while they're watching the TV show. And if there are men present in the same room, what are the guys doing? They're saying, "Please be quiet so we can watch the TV show together." Right? Now, most studies will tell you that women need to talk three times as much as men do. Now, that doesn't make women bad or doesn't make men bad. It doesn't make women good or men good. It just makes us different, okay? Guys, you got to understand, therefore, if women do not talk openly, they feel as if they are suffocating. They need to talk. So you need to listen to them. Just like the guy in the video, shut up. Stop trying to fix the nail in her head. That's awful. Thank you so much. There's deep revelation in that video, by the way. Now, I think most of the guys would agree that communication doesn't come naturally to us. And I'm confessing it doesn't come naturally to me either. And this came very clear to me right after I got married. Tracy and I got married, and we were on our way to our honeymoon. We were driving to South Carolina. And so here we are on the road, and we're just going on down the road, you know, and Tracy looks over at me, and she says, "Are you mad at me?" I looked at her. I said, "Are you kidding me? I'm mad at you? We just got married less than 24 hours ago. You know, I married the girl of my dreams, the girl I had a crush on since I was 12. I'm a happy guy." And I said, "Why in the world would you ask if I'm mad at you?" She says, "Well, you haven't said anything to me in almost an hour." At that moment, I had a revelation. I better learn to talk, or it's not going to go well for me. All right? Guys, if we're going to have strong women in our lives, we need to give them opportunity to talk. Sons, young adult boys, your mom needs you to talk to them. Learn how to communicate with your mom. It's practice for communicating with your wife. Dads, you'll need to learn to listen to your daughter. Listen to her. You're helping her grow, and you're providing an example of what it means of the guy that she needs to marry, somebody that will listen to her as well. Are you getting this? Husbands, it's going to take some effort on our parts, but we've got to communicate with our wives. And it doesn't come naturally to us, which is why we have to love our wives as Christ laid down his life, right? Turn off the TV, listen. Put down the newspaper and listen. Give her your attention. How many know that's going to go a long way toward encouraging and strengthening her? Now, guys, you got to remember that, and I think it's helpful for ladies to know this. Guys, when men communicate, we're just exchanging information. And if all the facts are stated, we have successfully communicated. Right? Ladies, females, words are only a small part of their communication process. Because ladies communicate with tone and nuance and feeling. I'm reading this because I want to stay safe. With body language, with facial expressions, with hand gestures and voice inflections. How many know women are masters of this? Words can never be exchanged between women, and they will have communicated with each other clearly. Women have an amazing capacity to read between the lines. Mm-hmm. Guys, you got to get this. You got to get it. Because you have to communicate with nuance and feeling. Now, let me give you a couple pieces of advice. How do you do that? Well, first of all, eye contact. When you're talking to your daughter, dads, when you're talking to your mom, boys, when you're talking to your wife, guys, give her eye contact. That is it's a sign of respect. It's communication, okay? And then the second thing is tone. You always got to watch your tone. The tone you use with a girl is important. Did you know a woman's brain has the ability to distinguish tone changes in a voice volume and in pitch that men often miss? Think about dogs' hearing and your hearing. It's vastly different. For every one man who can sing in tune, did you know there are 8 women who can? That explains a lot about choirs right there. Most guys are saying, so when a woman says to a guy, "Don't use that tone with me," most guys are saying, "What tone?" Because most guys are tone deaf, right? But ladies can hear different tones. So you got to use the right tone when you speak to a lady. So guys, what that means is, don't ever yell at a woman. Dads know this. You want to see a girl melt down in front of you, yell at your daughter. We need to watch it and be careful how we communicate. Remember, effective communication is about understanding, She's different. She's not better. She's not worse. She's different. God made her that way. Celebrate that. Honor that. Understand that. And all the ladies in the house said, amen. Amen. Let me show you one more thing that every lady is wired. Every lady is wired for communication, and every woman is wired for security. Every woman needs security. If there is something I wish every guy could understand, it's this one right here. What does a woman want? What does your daughter want from you, Dad? What does your wife want from you, sir? What does your mom want? She wants security. They want to feel safe. They want to feel covered. The number one emotional need of a woman is security, even if they have to provide it for themselves. Let me talk to some unmarried guys here for a second. If you ever have a plan or a goal to get married, listen up. If you want to attract a woman, you've got to become secure in who you are. Has anybody ever noticed how some of the most unattractive men are married to women, let's just say they married up? No one's ever noticed that. How does that happen? Okay, I have a theory. I think one of the issues is because of the security of a man and who he is. That has a difference there. So let's talk about the areas that a woman needs security. There's three areas of security. Number one is financial security. A woman wants financial security. So if you're married, she's most likely looking to you to provide for or look after financial security. You're supposed to work hard, guys. Be dependable. I said you're supposed to work hard, guys. Be dependable. Now, we've all noticed that in our culture, people are waiting to get married longer and longer. And I'll be honest, as a pastor, I'm a little concerned about this because I think there's lots of reasons. I think one of the reasons, though, is that there's this fear of divorce. You know, I'm afraid it won't work out. But that's why we're talking about this on Sunday morning. That's why we're doing the family project on Wednesday nights. Why are we doing this? Because we understand that God has the strategy for successful families. God's word has the directives for strong marriages. Come on, somebody. And that's why we're taking the time to talk about this, so that we can be strong. So you don't have to be afraid, that you can embrace what God has for you in God's plan and God's time. Amen? But another reason a lot of people don't get married, or they marry much later, is it's just because of selfishness. Many guys aren't ready to lay their lives down as Christ commanded us, and because they want to go whenever they want to go, and they want to do whatever they want to do whenever they want to do it. And because we're not ready to lay our lives down, we wait. And I think another reason is simply because of immaturity. In our culture, Tim Elmore addressed this last year powerfully in our Back to School Sunday. He goes, we have this perpetual adolescence. 25 and 30-year-old boys. How many know the difference between a boy and a man is that a man can take care of his family? But too many boys are content to just have enough money for pizza and video games. Are you with me? That's not going to work if you want to have a strong family. So grow up, get a job, provide for your family. God's the provider. Your job is to work hard and be a good steward. So let me ask the guys in the room, you want to get married? Oh yeah, I want to get married, Pastor. Are you planning for it? Are you saving for it? Are you preparing for it? Because she needs financial security. It's your job to provide it. It's your responsibility. Don't shout me down. Let's go to the next one. The second need of security is emotional security. Now, a woman needs emotional security. And here, let me talk to you about the way men can help provide for a woman's emotional security. And that, again, it's to follow the example of Jesus. Remember what Jesus said to us? He said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. And that's what we can do, guys, for our wives, for our daughters. We will never leave you. We will never forsake you. I'm constant. I'm faithful. I'll always be here. I love you, and I'm going to lay down my life for you. You getting this? Because a woman needs emotional security. And God provides the pattern for us to do that. Guys, have you ever noticed when a woman posts a picture of herself on social media? Have you ever noticed what happens? Every woman she knows starts to write comments underneath that picture. And what do they say? You are gorgeous. You're so beautiful. You're so pretty. What's going on there? Can I tell? I think every woman knows what every other woman wants and needs. Right? Are you getting this? Guys, that a woman blossoms in an atmosphere of praise and adoration, but she wilts and dies in the presence of perpetual silence or criticism. Now listen up, guys, don't miss this one. Silence in a relationship to a woman is the same as rejection. So to provide the emotional security that she needs, we have to communicate. Guys, don't criticize her appearance. Don't compare her to other women. Instead, encourage her and let her know you're never going to leave her. And whatever you do, married guys, don't ever threaten to divorce her. Threatening to divorce or to leave your family is the same as emotional terrorism, if you ask me. Don't do it. It's wrong. Here's the third type of security that a woman needs: financial security, emotional security, and of course they need situational security. Now I know this may sound archaic, and I completely understand that there are plenty of women in this room who are fully capable of defending themselves. Matter of fact, if some of us guys were in trouble, there might be a woman we would call. Hey! So we get it. Women are amazing. Women are resilient. Women are strong. How many agree with that? Okay? And we live in a dangerous world where many women have had to learn how to do this and defend themselves and protect themselves. But we understand ultimately that the Bible calls us as protector. We need to take the lead, guys, on providing situational security when you're with a woman. Walk into class, hey, I'll go with you. You know, walk into a car, you know, hey, I'll walk. How many guys have ever done that, right? You know, somebody's going to the parking lot and it's not well lit. Hey, we'll walk out with you. Are you getting this? You know, this happens at my house a lot. Every night, I get asked a lot of the same questions. Is the door locked? Yes. Is the garage door locked? Yes. Is your car door locked? Yes. And then it's the, are you sure? And the reason she gets to that question is because I've failed a few times. Because I said yes, fully thinking I had, but I hadn't. All right, I'm the only one who's imperfect, right? They need situational security. Now, let's bring this in for a landing because we're about to pray. Remember, our example is Jesus. What did Jesus do when people spit on him? When he was beaten, when he was nailed to that cross. Remember, we read a while back in the one-year Bible where Jesus told his disciples, I could have called 10,000 angels to come and to rescue me. But the Bible says Jesus chose to stay. When things were going terribly horrific, he stayed. He stayed to the end. Guys, that's how we can provide emotional and situational security for our wives, for our daughters, for the women in our lives. Guys, when a fight starts and arguments are going to happen, conflicts are going to happen because you're imperfect people, don't run to the driveway and peel out and leave. Don't ever say you've had enough and you're thinking about leaving. Here's what Christ says. Lay your life down. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Guys, you want to be a godly man? You want to be a man of God? Love as Jesus loved. Godly men don't demean women. Godly men don't make fun of women. Godly men don't talk down to women. Godly men honor women as Christ loved the church. Guys, you want to have a strong marriage? You want to have daughters who are strong and whom God's called them to be? I want you to know, lay your life down for them. And let there never be a doubt at your house how you feel about them. And that there never be a day they'll have to worry when you won't be there. That's how Christ loves the church. And that's what God calls us to do as men with every woman in our lives. I wish some ladies would say amen. I was praying this morning about how to bring this service to a close, and how do we respond? What do we pray about? And as we were praying earlier this morning, I so appreciate all the people who come early to pray at 8:15. But as we were praying, I felt like the Holy Spirit spoke to me to pray for the guys. So can I ask every guy to stand right where you're sitting? Would you stand? And I think there's two things that we as guys should pray about. The first one is this. We should ask God to forgive us for taking on the world's patterns of thinking and taking on the world's attitude towards women. And in any way where we have dishonored or not loved or not laid our lives down, we say, God, forgive us. You made me in your image. You made male and female. You made me in the image of God. And God, I just pray you forgive me. If there's any worldliness or worldly thinking in my mind about who I am, about who women are in my life. And then the second thing I want us to pray for, I want us to pray, God, make me like Jesus. Let me love like Jesus. Because how many know that does not come naturally, to lay your life down? So we pray, God, in my relationships at home, in my relationships with my mom, my sister, my daughter, my wife, may you help me to love them the way you loved me. Guys, can we pray? Let's pray together. Lord, we pray together as men. Open your mouths, guys. Let's pray. God, forgive us. Forgive us, oh God, for thinking as the world thinks and taking on attitudes of worldliness toward the women in our lives. God, we reject the spirit of the age that rejects what you have made. And God, we desire today to embrace biblical manhood. May you, God, cleanse us and wash us and purify us, Lord, from ungodly thinking, ungodly beliefs. Help us to align our thoughts and our hearts with your heart, with your thoughts, oh God. And God, we pray, make us like Jesus. Every man in this place, we're praying. Every teenage boy in this place, every young man in this place, every husband, every dad, every grandpa, every single man, God, we're praying, make us like Jesus. Give us a heart to follow Jesus. Give us courage to follow Jesus. Lord, in an anti-Christ world, may we be the example of Jesus Christ. May we love without condition. May we serve instead of asking to be served. May we lead by example. May we lead with sacrifice. And God, when things get hard, and God, we're tempted to leave, God, give us courage to stick it out, to stay, to believe that you're going to restore, you're going to heal, you're going to bless. In Jesus' name. And all the men said amen. I want to pray for one more group of people here today. I know that there are ladies, perhaps in this room, that your understanding of who you are, or maybe your understanding of men, has been skewed because how you were treated, or because of what somebody said, or because you were abandoned. I don't know all of the details, but I know your Heavenly Father did not do that to you. Your Heavenly Father created you to love you. There may have been broken men in your life who have not kept their promises. There may have been broken men in their life who have abused you or hurt you. But I just felt led by the Holy Spirit to speak to that, because don't let that affect your relationship with God. You take that to Jesus. You take that to God the Father. You are His daughter. He made you in His image. And when He made you, He called you good. When He made you, He called you perfect, because He loves you. So today, I just want to encourage you to receive the goodness of God. I want you to receive the blessings of God and the mercy and the forgiveness. Some of you are saying, I'll never forgive. You can forgive, because Christ forgave you. With God's help, and I'm not making light of it, I know it may be very, very hard, but if you're going to have strong relationships, you got to forgive. You got to let it go. To be like Jesus means to say, forgive them, God. They didn't even know what they were doing. Ladies, would you join all the guys in standing here today? We're going to sing this chorus, a chorus of faith, that God is a good, good Father. Let's worship our Heavenly Father in prayer and worship today. Thank
You're
you, God.
You're a good, good Father. It's who You are. It's who You are. It's who You are. And I'm loved by You. It's who I am.
God. Encourage you on your way out today. We have a resource table. We partnered with Family Christian Stores, books, resources, helps, so that you can grow in your understanding. Right? I encourage you to take advantage of that. What you invest in your family will be returned to you. So I encourage you to check out that table and those resources. Wednesday night, the Family Project. If you can join us here in the worship center, this is a fascinating study of what it means to be a family. And all we're doing is building foundational truth, so it'll affect our relationships. So we encourage you to do that. And then next week, next Sunday, Stronger Men, right? You'll want to invite everybody you know to be part of that service. I believe God's going to do good things. And don't forget, tonight is our small groups. If you're part of a group, make sure you're there. It's going to be a great time to share around God's word. Amen? Now the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you. May God lift up His countenance upon all of you and give you peace. May your relationships flourish. May your house be blessed. May God's hand be on your life. May God use you to show the world the image of Jesus Christ. I bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. I love you. Have a great day.